Administration. Take your songbook, turn to page number 388. There at the bottom of the page, O Come All Ye Faithful. Let's all stand as we sing, page 388.
Oh,
be presenting it next Sunday evening, but there will be no instrumental group practice tonight. But there will be cantata practice for the choir and choirs and the kids' choir and everybody involved. And if you could be here ready to go at 4:30, that would be a blessing. So 4:30 this afternoon for the cantata practice, 6 o'clock church-wide prayer, evening service tonight at 6:30. On Tuesday, Bible time with Brother Ray at 10 o'clock. And the Beautiful Girlhood also has an event. And Sister Lois has asked me to ask you, if you will be attending, please RSVP. Let her know you'll be coming for that Tuesday event for the Beautiful Girlhood. On Wednesday evening, the 11th, Discovery Club presentation, and our midweek prayer service at 7 o'clock. Then on Friday, we're presenting the cantata for the community. So if you have friends and neighbors, invite them to come out Friday night. We'll be having the Christmas cantata and a candlelight service and also refreshments after those presentations. So that will begin Friday at 7 o'clock. And then Saturday, open house at the Stocktons. They live at the rear of the property here. You can go back alongside the building here, and at their home from 2 to 5 p.m. on Saturday. And just to pop in for a little while, or however long you want to stay, but they will be welcoming you from 2 to 5. And let's see, other things coming up. Caroling is invited, it's open for everyone. It's being sponsored by the 50 Plus Ministry, but that will be Saturday the 21st at 5:30. We'll meet here at the church and then return here after caroling. That will be on Saturday the 21st. The ladies have a Christmas party on the 20th. Discovery Club has a Christmas party on the 18th. And I believe I have announced everything there. All right, take your songbook, turn to page number 408. There at the bottom of the page, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, 408.
Oh,
words. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. here. We are certainly glad to have visitors with us this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. We hope you have a wonderful time of worship here with us here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. We do not take it granted that you are here. We understand you could have went to any other church in the community, but you chose to be with us this morning, and we are glad that you are here. We're going to be in Luke chapter number 2 today. Luke chapter number 2. Don't forget, if you are in the choir and in the Christmas cantata of any part, we will be having practice at 4:30 this evening. 4:30 this evening. So if you can be here, be in your place, so we can get started quickly. We have tonight to practice, Wednesday night to practice, and then hopefully that's it, Lord willing. And then we will present it on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and then again Sunday morning, next Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. So we'd love to have you come out and support both of those and help us to be able to celebrate Christ in this time of the season. The cantata is Home for Christmas, and I think it's going to be a good one. We're going to do our best, put our best foot forward, and give God the glory. So come and be a part of that if you can be. The choir members, please, tonight at 4:30, this evening at 4:30, please be back so we can try to run through the entirety of it tonight for the first time. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 1, we're going to continue our studies on the Birth of Christ series. We started in November and now we're here. There's actually one more of this series. We won't do it next Sunday. I'll do a little bit different next Sunday because of the cantata, but we'll pick it up the last part of this series. Sunday after next. So this, we've got two left out of this here series that we're in. Luke chapter number 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and as it was told unto them. This is the night of Christmas miracles that took place. All of the prophecies of old from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Isaiah chapter number 7, verse 14, Micah chapter 5, verse number 2, all the prophecies of old begin to point toward this particular day. They pointed toward this day. Mary and Joseph had to come from Nazareth, but the ages of all the times had been waiting, been pondering. And I thought about this as we looked at the virgin birth, and we studied it in great detail in the first message that we went through in this series. The prophecy of Micah chapter 5, if you would, go to Micah chapter 5 in the Old Testament and let you see it for yourself. If you get over there to the Old Testament, you find Daniel, keep going towards the New Testament just a little bit, you'll find Micah. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Here's the prophecy of the fact that Christ would be born in Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me. This is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old and from everlasting. So Michael had said it here, and now the calendar was coming around and things were starting to look up. The angels looked forward to this appointment. Can you imagine just for a little while with me how the anticipation must have grown even in heaven as the angels looked forth to this, and the words of the prophets that had went forth. Remember, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, we're encompassed about a great cloud of witness. Can you imagine Micah as it was getting closer, and Isaiah, hey, the Holy Spirit of God moved on me and said a virgin shall give a child. And they could look around, they could see and ponder as Gabriel talked with Joseph and Mary and Zacharias, and the prophecies began to go forth. Look in Galatians chapter number 4. Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 4. Galatians 4:4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, and this was the fullness of time. It was starting to take place. It was coming there. The baby in Mary's womb would soon bring forth, and the light of the world, as the Bible says, would bring forth that light. But what's the miracle, Pastor? What's the miracle? What are the miracles of Christmas that you're talking about? Well, in verses 1 through 7, if you was to ponder that in Luke chapter number 2 for a little bit, the miracle of a humble birth of Christ. Think about it with me. Christ came down from heaven. And as He came down from heaven, the Bible says He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. As one day all knees will bow and confess this fact, that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But at this moment, in the fullness of God's timing, in the time that God had set forth, here would come the King of Kings, born in the womb of a virgin, and born in a stable, in a very humble place, as the Lord of Lords, the Messiah, Emmanuel Himself, would enter this world through a virgin womb. This is humbling. This is bringing it to a point that you and I can approach our Savior. You know, we're far removed from the old country, but in England, they make great pomp and circumstances when a royal child is going to be born, or a marriage that's going to take place. I mean, they make great of it, and they put it out there. Even, you know, in our society, if somebody that is well-known and renowned was to be of child, and they were announcing the birth of child, it seems like the news media makes a lot of noise about it. They follow along with it. And not one time have we ever heard of another king being born in a stable. Not one time we've heard of a well-renowned person that had a child born into their family would be born in a barn or in a stable. It's always in the nicest of everything and the best of all that is there. But this babe came into this world. But this is the humbling part about it. Go into John chapter number 1. I'm talking about the humble birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Look in verse number 10. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1, and verse number 10. The Bible says, He, talking about Jesus, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8 that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God slain from the foundations of the world. Before the very foundation, before God said, let there be light. When God created heaven and earth in Genesis chapter number 1, there in verse number 1, the foundations have not yet been laid for this world, but Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was there in the midst of creation. He made this world. He is the creator. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, all things consist by Him. He's the humble one. As He was born and He was coming into this world, He was born in that manger, and yet as He came and He knew that He would be rejected from the very onset of His life, there He was, His mom and dad, mother and Joseph, Mary's husband, as they were moving into Bethlehem there, as they knocked on the door and said, hey, is there room? No room? No room at all? Before He's ever come out of the womb, He's already rejected. Before He's ever given birth, and then all of a sudden says, well, I got this here stable back in the back. And so this is a miracle that the birth of a Savior would come through a virgin womb and would be born into a stable. Consider just for a moment as heaven, it must have a wonderful fragrance. The Bible talks about Jesus Christ being the rose of Sharon. Can you imagine with me the beauty that is in heaven and the wonderful smells and all the flowers that must be growing and blooming and the off sense of frankincense and myrrh, the beauty of all these smells. And then all of a sudden, you're born into this world and you're born into the smell of a manger. Some of you will know this and understand this. Some of the visitors don't get it yet. Sometimes when we're here in church, singing going well, offerings being taken, praise and worship going on, our cow farmer next door is bringing his feed. He's got a contract that he's worked up with Publix, and Publix gives him all the shavings and cuttings off the old vegetables and old fruits and things of that nature. And he has a dump truck parked up there at the factory, at the distribution center at Publix, and they fill it up sometimes two or three times a day. You'll see him coming down and right next to us right here, and he'll drop all these old shavings. And I'm telling you, when the door opens right there and I swing the doors and I'm fixing to start shaking hands as we dismiss, the wonderful fragrance of the pastor next door comes in. You're talking about humble. We're talking about the Savior who left the fragrance of heaven to come to this earth where all had sinned and come short of the glory of God. And our sins and the wickedness that we have put off is as filthy rags. And there's no righteousness that we have. As He entered into this world through the virgin womb and He left the fragrance of heaven, can you imagine leaving all of the angels as they worship Him? Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God, as the Bible says. As they would worship around the throne day in and day out. Day in and day out. And He enters into this world leaving all of the fragrance leaving all the worship, and he comes into this world and he finds murmuring and complaining and discontent and hatred amongst all mankind. Yet the Messiah in his humbleness said, I must go because no one's worthy but me to pay the sin of the world, that they might have life in me and be a child of God. You talk about humble, dear friend. Can you imagine him laying aside the robes of heaven? All the robes, the white robe that he has, and laying them aside. And as he's born out of that virgin's womb, the Bible says, and they found him wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was the blankets and the rags and the leftovers that had holes in them. That was in the house, and Mama said, hey, take this out to daddy to the barn because we don't need it no more here. And that's what they wiped off the animals with, and they cleaned off the trough with, and they found him wrapped. Can you imagine changing those heavenly garments? The Bible says he, being rich, became poor, that you and I, through him, might be rich. You don't talk about humble. The King of glory, the Creator of the earth, subjecting himself from everlasting to everlasting. Is that what Micah said? From old and everlasting to everlasting. And he entered into our time frame so that you and I might have eternal life. The Bible says in John chapter 14 that there's many mansions in my Father's house. That's the words of Jesus in John 14. Many mansions. Can you imagine, Brother A? He leaves all of that mansion. Everything that there, a place of 12 gates and the gates made out of single pearl. Brother Jim, he's born in a manger. Why couldn't he have been born in the king's palace? Why couldn't he have been born, you know, in the best of the best of the kingdoms? Oh, Bethlehem, though you're small, why not in Jerusalem? But in the small little town of Bethlehem. Because that's the humbleness of God, as he wanted all mankind. If he was born in a kingdom, if he was born in a palace, if he was born in a mansion, we of the lowly, like the sheep and the shepherd, the shepherd, the keeper of the sheep, they would not feel comfortable to approach him. God died for the world. And that is a great miracle, that the King of Kings, the sovereign God of the universe, the creator of all that we enjoy, would be born in such a humble place so you and I would feel welcome. It's a pretty good miracle right there, dear friend. He came down into this world to seek and to save sinners. Lost people without hope. And he wanted us to know that he is approachable. Second thing I notice here in verses 8 through 14 is the heavenly host. Those angels that had been very busy. Gabriel and his visits over to Zechariah. We looked at that last week. Gabriel and his visits to Mary the week before and announcing there. And the angel of the Lord, as he advised Joseph in the dream, said, listen, don't let this bother you. Don't let this trouble you. This must come to pass. All these angels had been very busy, the heavenly host, laying the groundwork and letting everybody know what was going on. Now, the angels will carry this message to the Judean hillside. Their job is not over. They're busy as they approach those shepherds there, and they begin to talk on that Judean hillside and begin to explain to the shepherds there in verses 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel. So it was an angel, a single angel. Then all of a sudden, there's a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. And so the heavenly host, the appearance of the angel, and they begin to explain. I wonder, as I pondered this and I thought about this, Why was it out there on that hillside of Judah that they came? And then all of a sudden, thoughts begin to run to my head and things begin to click. And I thought about this. Where was Rachel's tomb? Right out there. On those Judean hillsides. Where was Samuel? And where was David when David was anointed king of Israel? Right out there in those hillsides. Where was Ruth? Where was Ruth whenever she was gleaning the fields of Boaz? Right out there in those hillsides. Isn't a lot of stuff happening out there on those hillsides? It wasn't happening in the city. You know what it says to me? Out there alone with God, where we can ponder and we can sit and we can be still and we can hear the sweet voice of God. I'm telling you, dear friends, sometimes we get too busy. Why didn't the angel show up down there to the magistrate? Why didn't he show up at the jail and talk to the gatekeeper of the jail? But out there in that sheep, out there in that field in the hills of Judah, as the shepherds sit there and they begin to ponder and begin to hear, the angels came and brought forth the message. And as they brought forth this message, they said, "Listen, we have been looking forward to this moment and this appointment, and the fullness of time is at hand. And this is the sign. Go there, you'll find a babe, and he'll be wrapped in a he'll be laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes." Those angels, what a miracle! We got people always talking about sightings of angels, talking to angels. Angels here and angels there. What was the angel's message? It was all about Jesus, wasn't it? Amen. You better be careful. I believe in angels. The Bible tells us in Hebrews that we can entertain angels unaware. Right. But an angel is never going to bring a message that goes contrary to Scripture. Amen. Never. And here they showed up again to lowly shepherds. To lowly shepherds. Then the heavenly chorus. Can you imagine? I think it was just so baby Jesus could hear a little bit of that heavenly. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Good tidings. He left all that coming. Do you remember whenever the Bible says in John chapter 4 when he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? And he was out there and he was weary and he did battle at the end of those 40 days and 40 nights. He did spiritual battle with Satan and Satan tried to trip him up. What does the Bible say at the end of that? Who ministered to him? Angels. Angels. What a miracle. As they showed up. This host. And it came to pass, verse 15. As the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." But that is not the greatest miracle of all, is that a Savior was born. But in my mind, this is the portion I'm talking about right now. So you had the humbleness of the birth. You have the heavenly host that would approach lowly shepherds, again reminding us that all have access. But the work, the miracle of God at work in the human heart. Not once, listen, I believe with all my heart that Joseph and Mary knew that the prophecy said the child must come from Bethlehem. Yet they weren't living there, were they? They didn't live in Bethlehem. But when God had sent the message, and they had settled in the heart. Remember Mary said this, "I rejoice in God my Savior." She had got it settled. Everything was settled. Joseph, be not afraid to take Mary as thy wife. She hadn't been with no man. That which come upon her was the Most High. He overshadowed her, and she's with child because of the Holy Ghost of God. And it was settled. Not once do we read Scripture where they doubted because they weren't in Bethlehem. They knew Micah 5 too. We know they knew it because later on, next week, well, not next week, the week after, when we look at the wise men, they came to the king's house, and the king said, listen, what's going on here? What are they talking about? And his seers, his council, knew about Micah 5:2, though they misconstrued the scripture, talked about a governor. And the Bible says a ruler. Not once did they doubt in their heart because they were not yet in Bethlehem. Isn't it amazing that God's got the heart of kings in his hand? Let's read that again. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 2, Luke chapter number 2. We're talking about the Roman Empire, Brother Bill. The Roman Empire. The cruel Roman Empire that would put our Savior on the cross, a Roman cross, and crucify him. And God had them in his hand. Verse 1, and it came to pass in those days, what? In the fullness of time, that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And David, being from the lineage of, Joseph, being from the lineage of David, this taxation. Can you imagine just for a little bit? I don't know how this took place. There's three verses. We have to ponder. Lord, lead us. Stay within the bounds of Scripture. Don't make stuff up. But can you imagine with me from other scriptures? You know there's other scriptures that tell us the king couldn't sleep. Bring the scrolls and they begin to read them. So it's a possibility. Maybe Caesar's there and says, guys, I can't sleep. I've drank my milk. It's warm. Y'all sung to me. I've done heard rocking my baby too many times. I don't know what's going on. Bring me the scrolls. And all of a sudden, there was this here portion that was read about, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And he thought, hey, we hadn't done this in a while. I don't know how it took place, but God prompted the heart of Caesar Augustus that he would bring forth this here taxation back into place, and that everybody, everywhere, would have to go back to his hometown. That is a great miracle, dear friend. And that should help you and I to understand this. There's not a government agency in this world that God cannot control. He has placed them in power and put them where they are for His doing. For His doings and His goings. This is the Roman Empire. And Joseph and Mary must be in Bethlehem. And it was done through the guiding hand of God, through the wicked heart of Caesar Augustus. And God moved things. Remember, in the fullness of time, God sent forth this. And He's working it in place. And everything's taking place as it went there. And the empires, listen, are easily, all nations are easily are moved at the hand of God. You say, yeah, preacher, but the Bible says all nations forget God shall be turned into hell. That's why you and I have to be the light of this world and the salt of this earth, because we are to stand and show forth the love of God and present Christ, the hope of glory that's in us, so that those that oppose God without even knowing they're alienated from God might have opportunity to know the Savior that you and I know. In the midst of all this, He moved the heart of a king. He moved the heart of shepherds. The shepherds would become like evangelists. Let's read that again. Right where was that? Go back to Luke chapter number 2. Verse number 18. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at all the things which were told them by who? by the shepherds. See, when God gets involved, dear friends, so you have Caesar Augustus moving a plan for taxation. You have the shepherds coming saying, wow, it is so. Everything we've been told. And they became like evangelists. They want to tell the story of Jesus. Tell the story of Jesus so others might hear and know that there is a Savior, Emmanuel, God near us. Not only that, think with me just for a little bit further. I don't want to get too much into this because I want to cover this in 2 weeks. But the wise men, traveling from afar because of a star. Dear friend, it was more than a star. It was the moving hand of God. Amen. Because they were bringing great wealth of offerings that Joseph and Mary would need in Egypt to care for Jesus when they flee Herod. All this here going on. So the humbleness of a creator and king being born in a manger of a virgin. The humbleness that the angelic host would approach the shepherds there on the hill of Judea where so many other biblical things had taken place. And then the heart of kings and nations that would be controlled by God. And yet this is not the greatest miracle of all. Brother Ray, the greatest miracle of all, just like the shepherds, the Bible said many shall come to Him. Many. You and I have come to Jesus, not because of shepherds, but because He is the Savior of the world. Many. Just like the wise men that came and worshiped, you know, when they brought the offerings, that was worship. Just like the wise, we come and we worship today. Just like that. But here's the greatest miracle of all. If you're sitting under the sound of my voice today, it's that you have opportunity, if you've never been saved, to trust Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You have breath in your lungs. You have life in your body. And if you're lost without Christ, the greatest miracle for you is not that Jesus was born in a manger, which was a great miracle because it had to happen. King of kings, Lord of lords, born in a manger, wonderful miracle. The angels appearing and singing, wonderful miracle. Wonderful. Caesar Augustus moving. But greater than all this is that when someone is born again into the family of God, this is the greatest miracle of all times for each and every individual. Greater than any of the miracles that we read about in the Bible, we studied out to prove the virgin birth. The virgin birth is a great miracle. But you being born again through Christ, faith in Him, repentance toward God, your miracle awaits. I am so thankful in 1991 that I accepted that miracle. The Bible says it's a gift of God. But whoever believed in Him by faith and trust and grace will be bestowed upon you, and you can accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's personal. It's not because you're here at church today. So, Pastor, I go to church a whole bunch. I go to church a lot. It ain't about going to church. No, I've told you this many times. I've opened up my refrigerator countless of times an hour. How many of you just walk by sometimes, see the refrigerator there, and just got to open it to see what was, see if the milk's still there? We can get done eating, and we open the refrigerator. I've yet turned into any item in that refrigerator because I went and opened it many times. You will not just automatically turn into a Christian. It's by choice that you put faith and trust in Christ, the Lamb of God. And you're born again into the family of God. It's individual choice. Thank you for being in church today. We're so glad you're here. But more than that, if you're lost without Christ, I'd be so happy to rejoice with you. you might know Christ as your Savior. That's the greatest miracle of all. Come in faith to Christ. Know the miracle of salvation. You and Him, you and God do business. God said, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about this thing. It's not our church that says it, but God says, for all have come short of the glory of God. All. Everybody in this world, boy, girl, man, woman, stands before God wanting in their sin. But the Lamb of God paid for it. That Jesus that was born in that manger grew up to die on the cross of Calvary. By the same government that moved him to Bethlehem, the same government put him on that cross. But he was put there for my sin and your sin. Amen. And he rose again the third day. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. The pianist is coming. Brother Jim's going to lead us in a song of invitation. Pastor, I'm a little concerned. I know the Christmas story. I've been to some live nativities, but I've never been born again. Would you come? I'll be right down here. We'll take the Bible. We'll show you how you can know for sure that you're home. Not by shaking my hand. Because if I could shake people's hands and they'd go to heaven, I'd go stand at Walmart and just be a greeter. Just through the Word of God. Let us take the Bible and show you that you can have eternal life. What page, Brother Jim? 141, church.